Hi, and welcome to the Affiliate Insider podcast with me, Leanne Johnston. This is a podcast for digital and affiliate marketers in the iGaming industry. Listen up as I explore the latest digital and affiliate marketing trends and give you the insider scoop on what's occurring in affiliate marketing. Join us as we explore affiliate strategies, host expert interviews with leading affiliate and tech entrepreneurs, and discuss the latest affiliate and digital marketing trends. If you want to stay at the cutting edge of affiliate marketing, you're in the right place. Join me for this week's episode and let's get started. Welcome to the Affiliate Insider Affiliate Marketing Podcast with me, Leanne Johnston. And today I'm super excited to have somebody very special on the podcast, Kirsty McCubbin, who has been earning a living as a full-time affiliate for more than 17 years. And for 2 years of that time, she spent traveling all around the world. Her career as an SEO began at an agency in 1999. So for those of you that are listening, that predates Google, with a pivotal moment in early 2003, when she was asked to manage an affiliate program. This quickly led her to quitting her day job and backpacking around Australia, and she's been an affiliate ever since. Kirsty, I'm absolutely thrilled to have you on this podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, hi, Leanne. I'm really pleased to be here. It's great to have an opportunity to have a bit of a chat about affiliate marketing.
I know, it's a subject that both of us are so passionate about. So to get started, I mean, the history and the knowledge that you've had over this long, you know, career in affiliate marketing, tell us a little bit about your story and how did you get into affiliate marketing and when did it all begin?
Well, obviously, as you've mentioned, I started an SEO agency in 1999. Now, 6 months before that, I hadn't even sent an email. That wow. is how new and raw the whole industry was back then, that yeah. I could get a job of that nature with so little experience. So once I had been there for 2 or 3 years, I found out that I was actually really rather decent at SEO and yeah. that I was very passionate about it. And then at that point, Commission Junction opened an office in London.
Yeah.
And they came and they pitched us to start running affiliate programs for our clients.
Yeah.
So a lady called Liz flew up from London for the day and trained me in the world of affiliate marketing. And it was like a little bomb going off in my head, because I obviously already knew how to drive traffic. And I just looked and I thought, oh, my goodness me.
Look at this fantastic opportunity. I love asking guests this question about how they got into affiliate marketing, because everybody I speak to has got such a different story about how they've come into this industry and how their lives and their careers have progressed ever since. So let's look back, because I kind of want to go back to the future, if that makes sense, and talk a little bit about what affiliate marketing was like back then, you know, 20 years ago, before there were complex tracking systems and big, massive global networks. What was the experience getting into this space? And how do you think it's changed?
It was hugely exciting. It was all very new. In my mind now, I probably compare it a little bit to the Wild West.
Yeah.
Not only because there was a little bit of lawlessness,
yes,
to say the least, but also because there was huge opportunity for ordinary individuals who might not otherwise have had opportunities to enter into any kind of business, to make a lot of money. It transformed the lives of many, many people. And I was lucky enough to be surrounded by those people who had gone from very normal everyday jobs to making huge amounts of money, driving huge revenues. And it was just so exciting.
I mean, it was the first time that we really saw people create successful entrepreneurial businesses in incredibly short amounts of time. I mean, if I think back to what it was like back then, you know, anybody that could connect to the internet, had a computer and, you know, spotted an opportunity could make some serious cash. And even still, the industry is growing, you know, at a phenomenal rate. It's a little bit harder now, a little bit more regulated, but it's still a very lucrative industry to work in as a as an entrepreneur. And you've been doing that for, you know, almost two decades. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what has changed, like in terms of how difficult it is to become an affiliate now versus what it was back then.
When I started as an affiliate, you could earn money just by churning out thousands of spammy doorway pages.
Yes.
You didn't even need them to be pages. They could be meta refreshes, if you know what those are. You could just come up with a keyword list, churn it out through a little online tool, create a mechanism where those pages would be linked to, and you could just send the traffic direct to the merchant site, and you could put those sites up one day and you would have traffic the next and rankings. Incredibly easy.
Yeah, I mean, we literally went from like a simple refer a friend link to, you know, really complex different digital channels being used from SEO to PPC. Now, I know you work a lot in pay-per-click and SEO, which is your area of expertise. But talk to us a little bit about how the retail space has changed, because obviously we've got a lot of people from the iGaming industry listening to this podcast. But in terms of what's happening in the retail space for affiliate marketers, there's a lot more regulation that's happened a lot quicker than maybe what's happened in the iGaming space in terms of like the IAB Affiliate Council and codes of practices. And, you know, how did that actually change the way that you worked with merchants over time?
I think that the way that I've personally worked with merchants is that I've always targeted customers maybe in a different way from other people.
Yeah.
So I've always been really quite decent at finding new customers for merchants. But I know that the retail space have become very protective of their brand.
Yes.
They've really tightened up on the way that you can promote them a lot. I mean, things like brand bidding, obviously, that's been long gone for decade almost. Yeah. But things like that, they're starting to get very, very particular about how their brand is represented. They may even have controls on how you speak about their brand on your website. You have to be incredibly careful. Higher end brands, they want people who represent them. They've really got a strong notion of how they want to be viewed on the internet. And if you fall outside their view of how their brand is represented, then they simply won't have a relationship with you anymore. You're done.
And that's a key thing about affiliate marketing, is that it's all about relationship building. It's not just about the numbers and the technology that sits behind that relationship. And the compliance factor, I mean, it's become quite a complex job. It's not as easy as what it was before, you know, where you mentioned you could just take your keyword list and go and, you know, push it through a tool and send traffic to a merchant site and earn revenue. Now, as an affiliate marketer, you've got all these other things that you need to be taking care of in your business in order to continue to build those relationships. The compliance, the legal, the T's and C's, the rules and regulations. So why, I mean, is there still an opportunity for new people coming into the market? Is there still a viable business solution to become an entrepreneur? Because you hear so many of these get rich quick schemes, you know, you can be an affiliate and earn $100,000 overnight. I mean, does that still exist?
I think affiliate marketing is incredibly difficult. I think that you need to be able to wear so many different hats.
You need to
have an understanding of content creation, SEO. You need to have good technical understanding. You need to please your merchants. You need to please Google. And you need to compete against everybody else who is trying to rank.
And that's a full-time job, right? It's no longer just, you know, a four-hour week. I mean, I laugh at that sometimes when people, you know, they're in their mind, they've got this vision that affiliates are, you know, working, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, cruising around the world, having a luxurious lifestyle. Well, I mean, that just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, let's just put the kind of hard work down into reality. It's a full-time job to be an affiliate, right?
It definitely is. I, in particular, don't really believe in the four-hour work week anymore. It's something that I've experimented with, outsourcing a lot of the functions that I perform. I still outsource some content production. But if you don't have that personal involvement at every stage in the process, the likelihood is that something fundamental is going to go wrong somewhere.
Yeah,
you need to be really on point. to continue to please Google and to please your users. As soon as you let it become a sort of cookie cutter solution, then you're very much at risk of your system, if you will, breaking down and you losing your source of income.
So talk to us a little bit about the relationships, because, you know, we've mentioned that that's a key component of an affiliate in order to be successful, is to have that personal relationship with the merchant. What are some of the kind of tips that you can give to affiliates to really ensure that they're building good relationships with the partners that they're working with?
I think that you have to take some responsibility to treat affiliate marketing like any business.
Yeah.
So I commonly hear affiliates moaning about how merchants don't engage with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a two-way street. You can reach out and you can say, hey, how could I add value? And if you don't get a response to that conversation, then you've had some good data there, because maybe they're not worth risking putting a lot of your time into.
Yeah.
So perhaps when you've got a new project coming coming up, you try and speak to a few different merchants. And that's one of the ways that you are going to be able to determine who is going to be worth working with.
Yeah.
It is a problem that I have found is communication between the affiliates, networks, merchants. There's a lot of parties involved. It can lead to issues, and you have to really be on the ball as an affiliate. So you can't be passive.
Communication skills, because there's all these different channels that you need to be going through, and all these different suppliers and people that form that nucleus of that relationship. Making sure that you're a really good communicator, very clear communicator, is sometimes half the battle won, right?
Absolutely. And I think that you should never assume that all the parties in the relationship that you've got are effectively communicating.
True.
Very, very recently, one of my merchants had a site migration, and I decided 2 or 3 days after the site migration to check my links.
Yeah.
When I did that, I realized that their site migration had gone wrong. They didn't know, the network didn't know, but I knew, and it was me who alerted them to it. So you must never assume that they know everything, because they don't. You have to take responsibility for that.
Well, and that's also a very key thing for affiliate managers listening to this podcast, because affiliates play such a big role in your marketing function for that exact reason. I mean, not only are you acquiring traffic and getting, you know, the brand in front of new customers, but you're also keenly watching all of the kind of technical stuff that goes along with it to make sure that nothing's broken in that flow. And so partnering with your affiliates and really treating them as part of your marketing arsenal, even if you want to call it that, is an incredibly important thing to think about when you're building new relationships. It's not just about the traffic, but it's about what is the holistic relationship actually bringing to the table between the two parties.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as a former affiliate manager, I'm aware that quite often there can be some untapped knowledge inside your affiliate pool, particularly these days. I know that there are a lot of really talented SEOs with long-term experience sitting in people's affiliate pools.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be an enormously powerful resource to tap into? These are SEOs with decades of experience who I know, and I have a chat to every now and again about affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
They're really keen to get into the industry. So these people can be sitting untapped in your affiliate pool. You might not even know that they are there until you start that conversation with your affiliates and say, hey, how are you? Who are you? How can I help you?
And I think that's something that us oldies, I mean, excuse the pun, but people that have been around in affiliate marketing for a long time, we never undervalue anybody in our pool. You know, that whole 80-20 rule is just flown out of the window. It no longer exists as far as I'm concerned, because if you're spending all of your time on the 20% of affiliates that are driving 80% of your revenue, you're missing a massive opportunity for all the new people that are coming into your program. So for affiliate managers that are listening, I mean, you and I both agree, it's important that you're looking at that long tail all the time and looking and asking the question, hey, who are you and how are you? You know, how did you get into affiliate marketing? Because you'd be surprised at how much talent is there from lots of different areas of the internet, and leveraging all of that in your program strategies is incredibly important. So what about the future? I mean, we've spoken a lot about the past and where we've come from in affiliate marketing, but where do you think the future of affiliate marketing is going to go to, especially with, you know, micro influencers and all of these new social channels that are coming out. How is that changing the way that affiliates relationship manage and work with different partners?
I think that brands are hugely, hugely excited by micro influencers.
You
can see them chasing around after them wildly, and I can see why. I like to follow micro influencers and just watch what they're doing. Because when you see that the conversion power that they have, when you see how they interact with their users and how they build that trust and how they'll then go, hey, look at this product, look at this offer, and you see the conversion rate that they get, even a very, very small Facebook page, for example. And, you know, if they've got maybe a couple of thousand users and they put up an offer, they might make 10 or 20 sales.
I know, it's incredible.
That is without them sponsoring any posts. It's just because they've got engaged users. And I think that as affiliates, whilst we're always going to be different animals, we need to watch what micro influencers are doing, and we need to learn. Because I think that user engagement, having this two-way conversation, will become a lot more important for our long-term survival.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I mean, a micro influencer, just for anybody that's listening, is anybody that has 5,000 followers. So technically speaking, I mean, you and I could be micro influencers, you with your Twitter account and me with my LinkedIn account. And really thinking about how we leverage those accounts is incredibly important. Now, for anybody that hasn't ever read Kirsty's blog affiliate stuff, I would highly recommend that you go and have a look at some of the stuff that she does. There's a lot of, I mean, I was just reading this morning on your blog about your PPC experiment that you did a little while back and how quickly it took you to you know, make a profit using pay-per-click. And these are things that newer affiliates should be kind of migrating towards and looking at in order to learn from the past. Because the problem that I feel in our industry about moving to the future is that you can't understand what's coming ahead if you don't understand where we've come from. And really, that history of affiliate marketing sits with people like me and you. It's not written down in any books anywhere. And that's why I was so excited to get you on the show today, because I know that there's a wealth of knowledge and expertise that sits behind everything that you've learned in the last two decades. And we don't talk about it often enough. So, you know, in terms of the future and where we're going, I mean, do you think affiliate networks still play a massive role in the ecosystem that we're working in, especially now that brands are able to contact affiliates direct because they are becoming influencers? You know, it's very easy to reach out to somebody on a social media channel. So do you think that network function, you know, the tracking, the payments, the account management, do you think that's still going to play a really important role going forward?
I think that it's always going to be a thing. Affiliate networks will always be there. But I think that there's probably a number of things that could erode their influence. And speaking of influencers and content creators, one of the things about affiliate networks, the weakness that they have is that it is quite difficult for people with lesser technical abilities to monetize their content via an affiliate network. That is one of the major weaknesses that I personally see for an affiliate network. This is an advantage for me because I've got that technical ability. So as a reasonable content creator, I have got the technical ability to tap into those areas that other people aren't able to. I also think that Amazon,
absolutely. I mean, it's changed the way that affiliate marketing works, basically.
43% market share, apparently. I discovered the other day, but how accurate that figure was, I don't know, but I believe it.
And that's the scary thing, is that overnight our industry changes, literally, like in the space of, 3 years, 4 years? It can make such a massive difference. I mean, we were talking about that just this week with, was it Boohoo that bought out Debenhams? I remember when Boohoo came to market in the early, mid-2000s, there was some new brand that had come, you know, not a high street model, and look at them, they've just bought out Debenhams. So it's incredibly important not to dismiss the value that affiliates can bring to your channel to help you to grow. And, you know, taking that into account, taking a brand from, like, no name to, you know, international superstar, it's incredible what can happen in just a very short space of time.
I think ASOS was one of the prime examples of that back in the day, wasn't it? And I was one of the original ASOS affiliates. They were one of my early kind of projects. I didn't do as much for them as some other people did, unfortunately, but they were part of my early kind of retail activity.
Yeah. I mean, if ASOS ever had to open up an affiliate program again, would you work with them?
No.
Okay. And why is that? Can we just share that for people that maybe don't know about what happened with ASOS back in the day?
I can't even remember who the gentleman's name was, but he had opinions about us, and he called us grubby affiliates.
Yes, that will go down in the annals of history.
Well, I can still get a massive reaction on Twitter if I make a reference to grubby affiliates, and it's all the old school affiliates who I'm still privileged to be friends with and be in contact with. They all get the joke. We have a shared sense of outrage.
But this is the thing that makes me so crazy about affiliate marketing, the misunderstanding, the misconception of the value that affiliates bring in the marketing channel. I mean, ASOS is a clear example of that. In our industry, we've had, you know, situations where programs have shut down, and it's not because they devalue affiliates, it's because they don't actually know how to manage the channel properly. The strategy is lacking. I mean, I always say there is no bad affiliate, there's only bad affiliate management. Because if your strategy isn't right, your terms aren't right, you know, then it's the onus is on you, because all the affiliate is doing is getting paid for setting the traffic. So, you know, I just think it's a lack of education in terms of what this channel is and how it can work. And only when you've worked in it as long as what we have and grown, you know, massive affiliate programs. I mean, I've grown multi-million dollar affiliate programs all around the world, that you see the value that this channel can bring throughout the entire buyer journey, not just at the start, which is predominantly where people kind of lump affiliates at the acquisition stage of sales. But I think that that's changing now with the data and the analytics that we have, where we can do retargeting, we can use our partners to actually speak to customers more engagingly, as you said, you know, this whole micro-influencer sort of channel that's coming to play now. So I think it's an incredibly exciting time to be joining the affiliate marketing industry, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me. It is a lot more difficult than what it was back in the old days, but there's still so much opportunity to be had. Whether you're working, you know, in any vertical, there's always going to be new ideas, new channels, new pockets of traffic to go and target. So I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge and your insight and your experience. And I want to invite anybody listening on this podcast today to go and check out Kirsty's blog, go and have a look at some of the stuff that she's doing, and connect with her on Twitter. You know, I'm sure you'd love to connect with some of our audience and answer some of the questions that they might have. And it's just been an absolute thrill to have you on this podcast today. I'm just so happy that you agreed to join us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for sharing all of your back to the future stories about affiliate marketing and where we've come from and where we're going to head to in the future. So have a great day, and thank you very much for being on the Affiliate Insider Affiliate Marketing Podcast.
Thanks, Jan.
That's a wrap for this week's Affiliate Insider Affiliate Marketing Podcast. If you've loved what we've been putting down in this podcast series, head on over to Apple iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and subscribe to the podcast channel. That way, you'll never miss another insightful episode. Tune in next week for more digital marketing insights and traffic driving trends.